All right, let me invite you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 again this morning. Had a few of you express some interest in going up to Camp Shetek this weekend, and to kind of give you a few more details on that, if you will go to the OSA and see Brother Anderson there, he will give you the details. I believe you'll be leaving on Friday at 4 o'clock to head up there, and we could use a van load of you to go up there and to help serve at the winter retreat. I know they already have it packed to capacity with teens, and it's going to be a great time, and so I hope that you'll take that opportunity, if you can, to come up and serve the Lord there. Before we get into our message, can I throw out a couple challenges to you on a personal level? I understand that many of you, you go home, you really need to make money to come back to college. I understand all that. But let me throw out a couple things to you to try to encourage you at this specific time in your life that you have some opportunities that are unique to your age and ability. And there are some opportunities that you will not have when you graduate and you're married. And you're, in other words, you're not going to go be a camp counselor when you're married, all right? It's not going to happen. At least it wouldn't happen when I was married. You are not going to have the same opportunities to go on the same time of mission or ministry teams or trips. And there are different opportunities that you are available to you that I want to encourage you to at least be willing to get involved in and take advantage of. Camp Shetek's a great camp, but you know what? There's other great camps too. Don't, Mitchell, Tannis, where are you? Don't tell your dad I said that. All right. There's great camps. I'm sure they'll be here recruiting. Perhaps you would like to go on a mission trip with one of the college teams. One of the things I did when I was in school, I didn't know if God wanted to call me to the mission field. I know this is a little out of whack, but I prayed and I raised my own support, raised enough money to go to the country of Peru. I lived with some missionaries in Peru for an entire summer, for 3 months. Guess how much money I had to put on my school bill when I came back home? Big fat zero. But what I learned over there was amazing. Now, God didn't call me the foreign mission field, but what it did is it began a journey for me and a connection with foreign missions that I carry with me to this day. It was so helpful in my life. Maybe you have an opportunity to work as a church intern. You know, this is going to be a little out of norm too, because church internships are supposed to be, you know, for guys going into ministry. But I think it would be very helpful for you as a business. You say, you know what, I don't know that the Lord's calling me into full-time ministry. Do you realize there would be huge benefit to you to going into a local church and being an intern for 8 to 10 weeks and sitting under a pastor and learning some different things about local church ministry that would really equip you as you go out and live for Jesus Christ, as you serve Him after you graduate from this place? You have some unique opportunities. And by the way, I understand the money thing. Now, I know that the dollar seemed to be worth more way back when I was in college. When I went to college, my school bill was, are you ready for this? It was $6,180 a year. A year. Some of you are like, man, those were the days. Okay? I know. Can I tell you something? That $6,180 may as just as well have been for me $16,000, $26,000. I didn't have any money. I grew up in evangelism. I didn't have the opportunity to work summers. I traveled with my dad. When I went to school, I had literally zero money to go to school. My dad's in evangelism. My dad had two of us in college at the same time, and we were all living by faith. And I just want to give you as a matter of testimony. I didn't go begging. I didn't go writing letters. I didn't go out with my hand out. But I'm going to tell you what God did. God provided for me for my 4 years of college. I got my MA. Did my master's in a year, and the Lord provided for me to graduate debt-free, and all 4 summers, I did two church internships, went on the mission field for a summer, and worked as a summer camp counselor, and then after I graduated grad school, I worked on a custodial crew at a Christian camp. Now, I didn't have any money, but God provided my needs. What I want to challenge you is this, is are you willing to step out by faith, if necessary, to take advantage of some of these ministry opportunities that God may be giving you to help you to enrich and equip your life for further ministry for Jesus Christ? Now that's free, okay? Free message, all right? We're going to get into God's Word this morning. Let me encourage you as we are digging into our text to really be honest with yourself and to really evaluate your own Christian walk and your Christian life, not by another person, but by God's Word. And last night, we're going to be continuing and building on this, the fact that we are to be giving all diligence for the reason of who we are in Christ. We're a partaker of His nature. We have these exceeding great and precious promises. We have been freed from the corrupting rottenness of the world and its wicked desires because of that. We are to be giving all diligence, putting maximum effort into adding, to supplying, to make sure it's not lacking, to supply more than enough to our faith, that foundation of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the beginning point, adding to our faith these divine qualities that makes a person more like Jesus Christ. Everything you see in this text was modeled and emulated by the person of Christ. He is our example to follow. Last night we saw we are to add virtue. We're going to look at two more things this morning, and we're going to begin this morning looking, first of all, look with me please at the end of verse number 5. It says, and to virtue, knowledge. We are to be putting maximum effort to adding to our faith knowledge. The word knowledge here is the idea of a full knowledge, experiential knowledge, a knowledge that is growing. It's the idea of a deep personal understanding. It can be translated with the idea of insight. It is the idea of truth that is properly understood and also applied. In other words, I'm able to take what I know of the truth, I am able to live it out in my life, to put it into practice. It's not simply book knowledge. He's not saying that based on this verse, you need to go out and build a big library and you need to start reading books. Just a little, another little kind of a side note here. Guys, especially for those of you preparing in ministry, don't get in love with an author. Don't become a follower of a man, where you spend so much time reading their writings and following their teachings that you become more familiar with his books than you are of the divine author of the book and knowing his word and knowing your God. You need to know your God, and that happens through his word. Now, another idea here in the idea of knowledge is the ability to take the truth of God's word and apply it into, it's taking truth, applying it into my, you could say, my life experience. As I am going through life in my journey and my walk with Christ, my understanding of God is growing, and that happens through His word, which is why it's so important for you as a young man and you as a young lady to really be consistently in the Word of God, personally reading God's Word so that you can know your God. By the way, many of you will attest to this, I think one of the hardest places for a Christian to have a personal daily walk with God can be at a Christian college. You're so busy, and you've got chapels, and you got Bible class, and we can allow those to become a poor substitute for our daily personal walk with God, and it's through His Word that you will know Him. If you're taking notes, can I encourage you? Let me give you some passages I would like to invite you to just jot down and to read on your own time, and to really give a little bit more of a concentration and meditation than what we're going to do in a chapel setting. So let me give you these passages they're not long. You can read them in just a couple minutes, but I want you to meditate them, and I want you to look for the key parts of knowledge and understanding. So Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And Colossians 1, 9 through 12. I'll read them one more time. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Read through those passages and see some of the things that God desires for your knowledge to be growing in. Now, on February 22nd of this next month, my wife and I will have been married 21 years. Most of you, I think, probably hope to get married someday. Some of you, it's a false hope. They're just kidding. All right, relax. Let me ask you a question. When I stood at that altar at Community Baptist Church in South Bend, Indiana, and my wife and I were married, do you think that I thought I knew my wife? I did. By the way, did I know my wife? I did. I knew her. We have now gone through 21 years of life together. We have gone through 21 years of good times, trials. We have gone through 21 years. We now have two children. Do I know my wife differently today? Has my knowledge of my wife grown in the last 21 years? Absolutely. Same person, just greater understanding. And by the way, there's like this unwritten rule that you girls have the right to change the rules at any time without giving notice to the man. So in other words, we'll never get you figured out, right? You know what? If the Lord gives us another 21, 41 years, I pray together, guess what? I will be constantly learning and knowing my wife as we go through life together. Can I just share personally, in my own personal walk with God, I'm continually learning about my God. And one of the great ways many times that our knowledge and understanding of our God grows through many times is through trials, difficulties. A couple years ago, we thought my wife had cancer. We were getting ready to go to Carleton, Michigan for a meeting. My wife's doctor called her and said, "Can you come in?" She said, "No, we're going to Michigan." She said, "You're not allowed to travel. You need to come into my office today. We need to talk about something we found." My wife had a tumor the size of a baby's head in her ovary, and the doctor was pretty sure it was cancerous. Now, that was, for us, a shocking, shocking time. As we begin to walk through that trial together, as I went to my God through His Word. Now, did I know that God was good, yes or no? Sure, I knew He was good. Did I know that God's a God of peace and God of comfort? Did I know that from the Word of God? Did I know that to be a fact? Absolutely. By the way, one of the things we had to do was basically cancel all of our meetings for the entire fall because of my wife's doctor's visits and the surgery that she had to have. And praise God, she does not have cancer. And when you live by faith, in our ministry, we're not supported. I'm not supported like a missionary. I don't have a salary coming anywhere. That means so now we're going to go from October, November, December, and January. Now we don't have any income coming in. Our first meeting wasn't until the beginning of February. And I need to provide for my family. And I'm not independently wealthy. Do I know that God is a God who provides? Do I know He's Jehovah Jireh? Sure. Can I tell you, as I went through that very difficult trial, you know what? In a more real and an exact and a specific, a more intimate understanding, I knew the peace of God in a completely different way than I had never known. I can tell you, waking up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and crying out to my God for peace. I can remember holding my wife and praying with her as we struggled through the emotions and the fears and the challenges we were facing. I can remember sitting with my boys, around my boys, as I told them that mom might have cancer. And I can remember time after time the faithfulness of God with peace and comfort in ways I'd never known. I know my God in a more real and specific way today than I did before that trial. I saw God provide in ways that were amazing. Can you tell you something? My knowledge of my God grew. But that did not happen based on experience alone. It happens through the truth of His Word. It's His Word that reveals Him to us. And as His Word connects with our life experience and we begin to see our God and understand Him and walk with Him, we can be adding a very real, genuine, personal, intimate, specific knowledge of our God. I want to ask you a question. Look at me. I'm not asking you, do you know God better today than you did yesterday? My question is this. Do you know your God in a more real and specific and genuine and intimate and personal way today than you did a year ago? Because you should. We're to know Him. And we are to be diligent to be adding to our faith knowledge. Look at the second one. The second one that we're going to look at this morning together is the word temperance, which means self-control. It's the idea of, one of the ways it's translated is to hold oneself in. It's the idea of restraint. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9, 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He said, I have to restrain, I have to exercise control over the sinful desires of my body, because if I don't, I'm going to have major spiritual failures in my life. Self-control, to hold oneself in, to restrain yourself. By the way, one of the things that we need to do to remember in self-control, part of self-control is not putting us in a place where we're going to blow it or lose self-control. Now, I told you a little bit last night, you know, about my expanding ministry and all that. When I was a youth pastor, my six-pack had turned into a 2-liter, all right? And So, you know, of course, I didn't want that. So I decided, and this is a little embarrassing, okay? So please, don't mock too loud. Have you ever seen an infomercial? Come here. Okay, anybody ever bought something off an infomercial? Please, somebody. Okay. I'm sitting there on the couch as a youth pastor, and I'm eating chips and drinking, you know, Diet Dew or whatever. And I see the answer to all my problems. You know what it was? The Ab Shocker. Yeah, you know, it's kind of, you know, all those things have a little bit of, you know, so people like they'll put them on people who can't exercise so their muscles don't atrophy. They put it on there. It sends electrical pulses and causes them to contract and release. And so the idea is this. While you're sitting at work, while you're walking down the road, while you're shopping at the mall, it doesn't matter what you're doing. And you wrap this around your waist. It sends electrical impulses. It causes your abs to contract. And you can be shredded in 6 weeks. I'm like, I'm in. So I know I shouldn't have. I bought it. And I got it, man. And I'm like, all right. I'm going to get my six pack. So what I did, okay, put your gel on, right? You strap it around. I'm not going to, it has settings. I want to get my abs as fast as possible. So what setting do you think I put it on? All the way up, baby. Man. So I turn that thing up and I'm like, walking around the house. My wife is like, what is wrong with you? I'm getting a six pack. And stupid thing didn't work, and they didn't honor their money-back guarantee. You know what? Do I? You know what I wanted? I wanted the abs without the self-control. I didn't want to stop eating ice cream. I didn't want to stop eating chips. I didn't want to stop eating candy. I didn't want to stop eating late at night. I didn't want to stop eating as much as I wanted to. I just wanted the abs without the effort. That's what I wanted. And so you know what I did? I tried to find a cheap way around it, a way to do all the work for me so that I didn't have to exercise any self-discipline, which is why some of you are battling so strongly with different sins in your life, because you want the easy way out. You want someone to fix your problems for you without you having to exercise any self-control over the sinful desires that you're struggling with. I love ice cream. One of my greatest weaknesses. And I don't like cheap ice cream. This whole idea of the Walmart, you know, great value, icy milk kind of garbage. No. Ben and Jerry's, Häagen-Dazs, gelato, the good stuff. The stuff that you have to mortgage your house to buy a couple pints with. That's what I like. Question. If I'm trying to lose some weight, do I need to go and buy, have you ever had Ben and Jerry's fish food ice cream? Dark chocolate ice cream with caramel and marshmallow cream in it and those little fudge fish, chocolate chip fish in there. It's amazing. One of my favorite. Or my second favorite, Coffee Heath Bar. Oh, it's amazing. Is it wise for me to say, I'm losing weight, so I'm going to Walmart and I'm buying some fish food? Put that in my freezer. As I'm sitting on my couch at 9:30 at night, what does my mind say? There's fish food in there. So what do? I go and I just open the door. I just look at it. Oh. Shut it, go back to it, and sit down. Now that I've seen it, what is my mind? I start thinking of the velvety creaminess and the coolness of the chocolate and the caramel and the marshmallow just blending in perfect harmony on my taste buds. They're starting to dance. So I go and I'm not going to eat it. I just open the lid and I smell it and I look at it and I can see it. No, I put the lid back on, put it back in. Go sit down. 20 minutes later, what am I doing? I'll just have one bite. Impossible. And the reality is the best way for me to not put that into my body is to not even bite in the first place. I don't know what it is that you are struggling with as a young man or a young lady, but by the way, every person in this room, every faculty member, me, all of us, have desires in our bodies. We are going to struggle with sinful desires that will harm us in our fellowship and walk with Christ, testimony for Christ, and hinder our service for Jesus Christ. And we must exercise self-control. Some of you need to learn self-control over your mouth. Some of you struggle with self-control over your temper. Some of you have ruined your testimony for Jesus Christ over a basketball, a soccer ball, because a ref didn't call it your way, because you have no self. He that has no control over his own spirit is like a city that is broke
that are broken down and without walls. He that is of a hasty spirit exalteth folly. Because of our lack of self-control, we injure people with our words and with our attitudes, and we make careless and selfish decisions that we later regret. Some of you struggle with self-control in other areas I've not even touched, and that's not up to me to touch them. That's the Spirit of God's job to point it out in your life where you need to change. But the reality is this, you must exercise self-control in your life by walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22, 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. One of the fruits of walking in the Spirit of God is self-control. And you need the grace of God to help you control those sinful desires so that you can be like Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this morning, are you diligently putting maximum effort to adding to your faith knowledge and temperance? In our time of quiet together to reflect and respond on God's truth, we're going to do it again like we've done each chapel. Let's just take a couple minutes of quiet before the Lord to reflect. Has God worked in your heart? Maybe you say, you know what, knowing God, maybe the reality is because you've been so inconsistent in His Word, because there's been very little time spent in prayer. The reality is, you said, man, when you asked me, do I know more my God in a more personal, real, intimate, specific way? Have I been connecting my God to my life? Did I know Him in reality because I've been walking with Him? The reality is, some of you said, I'm going to be honest, I don't. God perhaps really got a hold of your heart that you have not been putting really any effort into knowing your God. Maybe the Spirit of God got a hold of you in this idea of temperance. And there's a specific area in your life where you are losing spiritual battles and losing spiritual ground simply because you are continually giving in to selfish impulses and sinful desires that are, you know, that God knows are not pleasing to Him and are definitely not like Christ. And you struggle. Perhaps it's because you're just making it easy to go back to those sins, or because you want the easy way out, whatever. And however God has spoken to your heart, I want to encourage you to not only reflect on the truth, but to respond to it. And by the way, even if God didn't point out something major that you need to deal with this morning, every single one of us, I know that in our time of prayer, I'm going to be asking God to help me to be diligent in adding to my faith, knowledge, and temperance, because this is God's desire and command for each one of us to be adding to our life. Heavenly Father, change us by Your Word into the image of Your Son. And I ask this in His name.